Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Wolf of Wall Street by Jordan Belfort is a memoir that traces the meteoric rise and spectacular collapse of a salesman turned stockbroker who became a symbol of 1990s financial excess. Set against the backdrop of aggressive cold calling, penny stock promotions, and a culture that rewarded bravado over restraint, the book follows Belfort as he builds Stratton Oakmont into a high-powered brokerage operation. Publicly known for its fast money ethos and legal controversies, the firm becomes the engine for Belfort's wealth, celebrity, and escalating risk-taking. The narrative moves quickly through scenes of relentless selling, lavish spending, and a lifestyle fueled by drugs and adrenaline, while also showing how ambition and rationalization can erode judgment. As authorities close in, the story shifts from domination to damage control, revealing the personal, legal, and ethical costs of chasing status at any price. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from ambitious salesperson to market operator, a central topic is Belfort's transformation, from a hungry, impressionable salesperson into a confident operator who believes he can bend markets through persuasion. The memoir frames success as a product of language, energy, and the ability to read human desire, especially the desire for quick profit and social validation. Belfort learns early that many investors are not looking for careful, long-term strategies, but for a compelling story and the feeling of being included in an opportunity. The book highlights how this insight can be used productively in legitimate sales and communication, yet also how it can be weaponized when incentives reward volume over suitability. As Belfort gains momentum, he recruits and trains others, creating a repeatable engine built on scripts, pressure, and emotional certainty. The rise is not presented as a single lucky break, but as an accumulation of tactics, confidence, and risk tolerance. For readers, the value lies in seeing how charisma and sales systems can create real outcomes, and how the same mechanisms can quietly detach from ethics when the goal becomes winning at all costs. Secondly, the machinery of Stratton Oakmont and high-pressure brokerage culture. The book devotes substantial attention to how Stratton Oakmont functioned as a sales organization, recruiting aggressively, training brokers to control conversations, and rewarding those who could close relentlessly. The environment is described as competitive and theatrical, where status is measured by commissions, displays of wealth, and loyalty to the team. Belfort presents a culture that treats objections as problems to be overcome, not signals to slow down, and that prizes certainty even when underlying investments are risky or opaque. This topic matters because it reveals how organizational design shapes behavior. When compensation is tied to short-term transactions, employees are nudged toward maximizing deals rather than building trust. The memoir also illustrates the social dynamics that keep questionable practices in motion, including group identity, normalization, and the belief that everyone in the room is benefiting. Readers interested in business and management can extract lessons about incentives, hiring, and training, while also recognizing the red flags of cult-like sales environments. The Stratton story functions as a case study in how culture can scale performance and simultaneously scale harm. Thirdly, penny stocks, persuasion, and the edge of legality. Another major theme is the world of penny stocks and the blurred line between aggressive marketing and manipulation. Belfort's story is widely associated with pushing speculative, thinly traded securities where information is limited and prices can be influenced by coordinated selling. The memoir shows how persuasion, repetition, and selective framing can create the appearance of inevitability around an investment idea. It also demonstrates how complexity and jargon can be used to intimidate customers into compliance, especially those who lack financial literacy. This topic is valuable because it helps readers understand the anatomy of hype, the promise of insider access, the urgency of limited-time opportunities, and the emotional trigger of greed mixed with fear of missing out. Without needing technical trading knowledge, the reader can see how asymmetry works when the seller controls the narrative and the buyer relies on trust. The book implicitly encourages skepticism about anyone who guarantees high returns, discourages questions, or pressures immediate action. In that sense, the memoir operates as both a confession and a cautionary guide to recognizing persuasive tactics that can move money quickly and leave buyers exposed. Fourthly, excess, addiction, and the personal cost of unchecked success, Belfort's public persona is inseparable from extreme consumption, and the memoir treats excess as both a reward and a trap. The story describes a lifestyle where money is converted into spectacle, expensive homes, constant partying, status symbols, and escalating drug use. This topic is not merely sensational, it shows how a high-intensity work environment can feed into high-intensity coping mechanisms, creating a loop where stress and celebration become indistinguishable. The memoir illustrates how addiction and impulsivity can erode relationships, decision-making, and basic self-preservation. It also highlights how wealth can amplify problems rather than solve them, because access removes friction and consequences feel distant. For readers, the relevance lies in the psychology of overreach. When achievement becomes identity, there is pressure to maintain the image, spend bigger, and take larger risks to keep the story going. The book suggests that without boundaries, success can become a destabilizing force that harms family life, health, and integrity. It is a stark reminder that personal systems matter as much as professional strategy, especially when the stakes and temptations rise quickly. Lastly, investigation, accountability, and the fall from power, the final major topic is the unraveling of Belfort's empire under legal scrutiny and the shift from invincibility to accountability. As authorities investigate, the narrative focuses on the strain of trying to outrun consequences, the pressure on associates, and the way fear changes loyalties. The downfall is instructive because it shows that operational shortcuts and ethical compromises accumulate into systemic risk, even when they seem manageable day to day. The memoir also explores the concept of rationalization, the belief that success proves legitimacy, that everyone is doing it, or that harm is abstract because the system is complex. When enforcement arrives, those stories collapse and practical realities take over, including negotiations, reputational damage, and the long tail of personal consequences. For readers interested in ethics, law, or leadership, this arc emphasizes that compliance is not a technical detail, but a strategic requirement. It also shows how organizations can become vulnerable when they rely on secrecy, intimidation, or a single charismatic figure. The collapse of Stratton Oakmont functions as a warning that unchecked power invites scrutiny and that the cost of rebuilding trust after a public fall is far higher than the cost of operating responsibly from the start. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want an unvarnished look at high-pressure sales culture, the seductions of fast money, and the psychological mechanisms that can turn ambition into recklessness. It will interest entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and business students who want to understand how persuasion systems are built, as well as general readers drawn to true stories about power and consequences. The benefit to a reader's life comes from pattern recognition, noticing how incentives distort judgment, how group dynamics normalize risky behavior, and how addiction to status can hijack priorities. Even if the events are extreme, the underlying habits, rationalizations, and red flags appear in many workplaces and personalizations and personal decisions. Compared with similar books about finance scandals, this memoir stands out for its direct focus on the sales floor, the scripts, and the everyday behaviors that create a pipeline of outcomes. It is less a technical market book and more a behavioral case study told from inside the machine. Buying it makes sense if you want a vivid cautionary narrative that also sharpens your skepticism toward hype, urgency, and guaranteed returns, while provoking reflection on what success is worth when boundaries disappear. If you would like to support Jordan Belfort, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.